Good morning. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. They're going fishing. How many of you here like to fish? Okay, we're a fishing family. We are. I'll say we're a fishing family from up north. Things are very, very different when you fish down here than when you fish up north. Very different. So how many of you, when you have gone fishing and you've come back and told the story the first time, that your story was pretty accurate? How about when you told your story a second time? How about when you told your story a third time? How about the one that got away? Right? So fish tales, right? Fish tales, fish stories. Carl used to go out fishing with his friends once a year. They would book a charter out of South Jersey. And it was easier to book out of, well, it wasn't easier to book out of South Jersey. A friend of ours had a bed and breakfast, thank you, in Cape May. So we would go down there and they would do a 24-hour overnight tuna fish trip. And it was really nice. And the nice thing about going out when you go out in Jersey, so if you're familiar with the fishing waters up there, there's the canyon. It's called the canyon. It's where the water just drops off, and there's this huge drop. And so the goal is to get out to the canyon, where the deep water is, because that's where the tuna are and the swordfish. And am I getting all this right, Carl? Thank you. And so the ladies, we would just stay and have our fun in town until they came home. So, of course, when they got home, we would hear the story. And then the story would change, and then the story would change, and then the story would change. It would go something like this. So we got out there, and they usually left at night.
No, during the day.
During the day, sorry. But they fished all night. Sorry. They fished all night, and it was dark. You couldn't see anything out there. And the reels would be set, and each one of the guys would take their turn in the fighting chair. You know that fighting chair? Where the fish is so big because there's this fish that got on the line. No, I'm sorry. They hooked the fish, okay? So whoever, I hooked that fish, you know? And then they got in the fighting chair. And it was such a big fish that I had to be belted in. I had to be strapped into that fighting chair. And then you had the board where you put your feet, you know, because a couple times I was almost standing straight up. That's how big this fish was that I was pulling in. And my arm was exhausted. Oh, my gosh. And then the reel, it was just because it was so hot for me pulling it in and pulling. They had to water down that reel because it started smoking, right? The line? They had to pour water on that thing to make sure that it didn't snap and all that. And then they had to pour water on me because, my gosh, I was so hot. And they were just taking care of me. And they said, do you want to get up? I was like, no, I can do this. And they're pulling in this fish and I'm pulling it. I mean, I must have worked on it for 45 minutes. No, I'm sorry, an hour and a half. I think I was in that fighting chair for 2 hours working on that thing.
It was a whale.
It was a whale. There you go. Carl's laughing because that's exactly what they would come back chatting about. And mind you, they did catch big tuna. I mean, they were bringing in some decent-sized tuna. And it was so big. I said, one net's not going to do it. Two nets aren't going to do it. A gaff isn't going to do it. We need two gaffs. This thing is so big. And then as it comes towards the boat, all of a sudden, the line doesn't break, but all of a sudden it like, and all they see is the head. Because the shark got it, right? Never put your hands in the water. If you know anything about fishing, you never put your hands in the water when you're going to get a fish. So the shark gets it. Well, how big? I mean, let me tell you how big that head was. It was this big. It was that big. No, it was that big. The head on this thing was that big. That's a fish tail. That's a fish tail. Now, I didn't talk about how when it jumped, you had to see that thing jump, Mary. It was like this big. And then I had to go downstairs and lay down. I had to sleep an hour, 3 hours, 5 hours. I slept the rest of the trip. I was so exhausted. I kid you not. These were the tales that would be told. And they're fun, aren't they? They are fun. Carl and his brother had gone fishing, and, you know, sometimes we're like, well, just capture that thing on film, right? Because now it's like, capture it on film. Do you see it?
Oh, let's see that picture. Oh, yeah, you see anything wrong with that picture? So his brother immediately said, excuse me, who holds a grouper that big like this? Because they sent it to the other brother, and the other brother's like, oh, please. Like, he immediately saw, so that was one of the things they forgot, was that he's holding it like this because the fish was about that big. By the way, do you ever see when they take pictures? Cole taught me a lot. He's like, you have to stand like this, and you hold the fish like this, and you push it forward. I mean, there's all, so you make it look like, oh, I can hardly hold this thing.
Those are fish tails. You can flip off of this one. Yeah. Fish tails, right? Now I'm going to tell you my fish tail. Tail can be exaggeration, but tail can also be a story. And here's my fish tail. We were living in New York, so it was well over 21 years ago, because we moved down 21 years ago, and a friend of ours had a boat. And in March, April timeframe is when the mackerel would run. And what would follow the mackerel were the blues. And then when it would follow the blues, bluefish would be the shark. So you would use mackerel to fish for shark. So it's a gorgeous day. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous day. The ocean is so flat, which is so unusual for springtime up there. I mean, as flat as it is how it is here in the summertime. We go out in the boat. My friend says there's four of us, and we're going to go mackerel fishing. Now, I'm not a fisher. I'm a catcher. If I'm not catching, I'm bored out of my mind. So we go out there. It's absolutely gorgeous. We're off of Rockaway Inlet. We can see, I'm just looking at the planes at JFK landing and taking off because we really weren't catching anything. Bait our hooks. We had a line that had three hooks on it. And we bait our hook, drop it in the water, and, oh, one fish hit, right? Is that what's called? When you hit. Okay. And you know, pull it. Take it off the hook very gently, drop it in the fish box. Then all of a sudden my friend said, drop your fish, drop your lines right away. I'm like, we have no bait. Doesn't matter. Drop it. We drop our lines because we're drifting. So that's where you start. You shut the engine off and you start drifting. And the next thing we know, boom, 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 boom. Like our lines are going crazy. The fish are literally hitting, running into our hooks. So our friend says, pick up your hooks. There's three fish on there and slam it down into the bowl. And then drop your hook again. So that's what we did. Drop your line again. They're running in. They're three. We each, so there's four of us. There's 3, 12. We drop into the boat. Now, mind you, there's fish all over the bottom of this boat. Because we're doing this for a good 10, 15 minutes. And we're just slamming these fish into the boat. And I'm like laughing like a little child. Giggling because these things are flopping around, you know, it's like, I'm like a little child. Then I jump up onto the seat because I'm like, I don't want to be down there with those fish. And the floor just keeps getting, you know, it's like inundated with fish. And my one friend's trying to get him into the box, you know, the fish box. The fish box is full within 20 to 30 minutes. Done. It's a fish tail. It's a fish story. It is a true story. And when it was all over, we all looked at each other as we're laughing and giggling. And we realized that that catch that we had just gotten had absolutely nothing to do with us. Nothing to do with what we were doing. There was no technique. Drop that, those hooks in the line. And they just ran into them, bit on them, whatever it is that they did. There was no special bait. There was no special hook. I mean, a fisherman will tell you. There are shows on this stuff, for goodness sake. There's an entire industry on this, for goodness sake. Nope. We were going to catch fish no matter what. And it had absolutely nothing to do with us. And I think that's what our gospel this morning is like. It's more like that second fish tale than the first fish tale. Because the story that we hear in the gospel says that it has nothing to do with what the disciples, so they're not disciples, so it's Peter, right, had nothing to do with what he had done. And it had absolutely everything to do with what Jesus had done. There was no bragging rights here on the part of Jesus. The fish tale that we hear this morning is so amazing, and there's such a wonderment that Peter is experiencing that his reaction is, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm a sinful man." That sin isn't that he didn't believe Jesus when he put the line down or the nets down. That sin is that he recognized, "I am in the presence of a miracle and the Holy One who just created this miracle." His recognition that he is standing before holiness, divineness, and recognizing, "I am not worthy to be standing in that presence." And how does Jesus react to this? And we've heard angels say this, right, all during Advent. "Do not be afraid." That's Jesus' response. Do not be afraid. He doesn't even address the worthiness. He invites him to come and fish for people, to tell the tale of who Jesus is. Someone told us the good news, right? Someone told us about who Jesus is, who God is, who the Holy Spirit is. They didn't convince us. They didn't bash us over the head and say, "You better do this or else." They invited us. They didn't convince. They understood that the Holy Spirit is the one who calls us forth, who all of a sudden makes us ask questions, who makes us aware, who enlightens. So many times I've heard people say, "I don't know how I got here, but I'm here." And we may remember those times when we ourselves have said that. When we fished on the boat, we didn't do anything. This is what we did. We put our line in the water. That was it. That's how it is with evangelism, with telling the story. God invites us to put the line in the water. The line is the story. It's an invitation. And God does the rest after that. This work we are all called to happens right where we are. And you've all been called here. You all have a fish tale. You have a tale to tell about how you got here. It might have been someone that you met somewhere. It might have been a friend. Most likely, it's a friend. It might have been somebody that you've seen. It might have been a Facebook post. It might have been, it might have been, it might have been. Only you know what it was. But it was the Holy Spirit that actually physically brought you to this place. And so this sharing of the story, this fishing, happens wherever we are. It happens at work. It happens at play. It happens at times where we're ill or times where we are overjoyed. It is in the everyday occurrences of our lives that this happens. The person that had the most impact on my standing where I am today, and this is not a call for everybody, but I never knew until 30-something years later that when I had answered an invitation to talk about grace, and I was the only one that showed up. Now, here's this Roman Catholic girl who's trying to understand what Lutheranism is, and I show up, and I look around, and I say, "Oh my gosh, I'm in trouble." Because I know nothing about this word grace. I was kind of hoping there'd be other people here who would do the talking for me. Anybody feel that way when you go? Yeah. And so here I am, and there's the pastor. And I said, "Listen, you can reschedule this if you want to, because it's just me." And he said, "It's not just you. It's you. I said, well, I don't really understand this. He said, I know that. Not to worry. We're going to explore it together. And that is what changed my entire life over the next 30 years. He dropped the line. He told the story. And we had a chance to talk about it. There was no convincing. There was conversation. There was exploring that went on. And I came to know just how much our God loves me and loves us. And that I am worthy because God says I'm worthy. Do not be afraid. The Lord will put the words on your heart. Half the time, you don't even have to say anything. It's your actions. The times when you keep your mouth shut when somebody says something that's mean or nasty, or the times that out of grace for the other person, you respond in a way that is kind and loving. I always have this question to ask. Why wouldn't we want people to know about the type of life they can have right now? A life in which God is fully a part of everything they do and say and think. Why wouldn't we want people to have that now? So let's not keep this to ourselves. There's a tale to tell. The story of Jesus. Remember your fish tale this week. And then get ready to pick up your pole or net so that other people may have a tale to tell too. Amen.